joined now by Belmont basketball coach Rick Byrd. Rick, good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, I guess if you had heard if Big Joe wasn't going to be here, you might have thought twice about this, right?
No, I believe I'd come on anyway.
Well, I appreciate that. I want to talk, obviously, big game tonight with Murray State in town. And let's talk about that first, because there's some a pending NCAA transfer rule that's come out as a possibility, a large possibility that will be enacted this August. So I'll let you choose. Which one do you want to talk about first?
I don't know much about – I haven't heard about the second one, so let's start with that one.
Okay, well, all right. Well, it was reported yesterday that the NCAA has a Division I Council transfer working group, and they are expected to make a recommendation that starting in August of this year, that if you have a grade point average of 2.7, 2.8, right in that area, that you can transfer – you have a one-time transfer, just a free transfer to wherever you want to go. This is for football and men's basketball. You talk about, in my opinion, welcome to the wild, wild west.
Well, that's, I think that's most people's opinion on that. I think we've, I don't, you know, I don't want to say gone overboard. I don't know the right thing, but we're, you know, they're trying to make it so that, that kids have the freedom to do what they think's best for themselves and that, and not to be restricted in these areas, and that's a, you know, that's a noble idea. But to think that there's not going to be basically just recruiting from other programs going on is just to not take a very close look at the state of college football and basketball in terms of what folks will do to try to get better and win games.
Well, and, you know, I heard one joke, well, if that's the case, then Nick Saban has 120 farm league teams. Is that anybody wants to come play? You know, I understand if a coach leaves to go to a different job or gets fired or there's NCAA probation that precludes either a bowl or postseason or the postseason in basketball. I understand that. But, yeah. I mean, I heard an interview with Kermit Davis, and, you know, he talked about Reggie Upshaw, who, as by the time he was a sophomore, it was pretty evident he could play for anybody in the country. And you've had those kind of players like an Ian Clark, for example, who could go anywhere and play, yet you develop them, you get them, and they may even want to stay there, but, you know, people are in their ear. Look, you can go play, you know, in the ACC tomorrow or and without any, you know, repercussions. I just think it opens a whole can of worms. But I tell you, there seems to be some strong movement that this might happen.
Well, there's been several things that have happened that you know, the graduate transfer thing. Mm-hmm. I think exactly the same way about that. I don't think those kids are transferring to be in a graduate program that's not offered by their university. I don't understand totally why we're going that direction. And you know, you're right. So we're not going to, but what if coaches just start making their kids take really hard classes so they don't have a 2.7 GPA or whatever it takes? I mean, that we can laugh about that, but I'm not sure there aren't some that wouldn't be up to it.
Belmont Coach Rick Byrd with us, Murray State tonight, and I had a conversation with Dana Ford, of course, do their games and everything, and he was talking about Murray State and Belmont, and he meant this, no disrespect to even his own program, but it just every year in the OVC, it's Belmont and it's Murray State, and then everybody else sort of positioning themselves to, first off, to get in that top eight, to get to the OVC tournament. We've seen in the last couple of years, Jacksonville State, Austin Peay, what can happen once you get to the tournament. But the two bell cows of basketball for the OVC easily, and it's Belmont and Murray State.
Well, you know, Murray State owns that title for longevity. They've been good. I was a coach before I came to Belmont. I was at Lincoln Memorial University, and we went and played Murray State when Ron Green and Steve Newton were the coaches, and they were the best in the OVC then, and they've continued to be that program overall. I'm just thankful that we've had enough success to be mentioned along with them. And as you know, it takes two good teams, two contending teams year in, year out to create a rivalry. And I think we've got a good, healthy one with Murray State now.
Well, and, you know, I'll show you my age. I go back to Cal Luther days at Murray State and just how good they've been for so long. This, I was reading your from your website, the preview of the game. This surprised me. Since Belmont joined the league in the 2012-13 season, you've only played seven times. Now, I know divisions, it's not divisions now, but also this once a year still in a lot of those. But it just seems like you've played more. And I guess a lot of that has to do because of those two conference championship games that were instant classics, both of them.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, we've only played once a year in the in the 5 years we've been in it, and then the two championship games. So but we've had a lot of great games already, and I think that's why you think about it that way. We've played those two games were super close games, one overtime, one last-second shot. And then we played a really close game at their place. We played a really close game at our place. We've been blown out at their place once, and we got a nice win up there last year. So this is the best Murray team in the 6 years, except for the team that went undefeated in 2014. And then Taylor Barnett hit that shot, and we lived up, set them in the championship game. This is the best team, I think, that I've seen Murray have besides that one.
Well, and we'd be remiss not to point them out singularly. The 2013 OVC Championship game in Municipal Auditorium, Karan Johnson, the game tire and the game winner. And then in 15, you mentioned Taylor Barnett with that three-pointer as well. Two of the most, and I was at both of them, the most dramatic games. Of course, the magnitude of what they meant, national television and everything. Those two games will live on for a long time, really.
Yeah. For sure. I mean, you know, you can coach as long as I've coached and not have games that meaningful turn into that kind of a game and that kind of a moment. And like I've said often, we were more lucky than good in a lot of ways that we won those games. First time Isaiah Cannon dribbled it off his foot into a backcourt violation, and we got the ball for Cron's game-winning shot. And then if you remember the play where Taylor Barnett hit the shot, we started the play prior to that, and the shot clock didn't start, or the clock didn't start, or some kind of restart by the officials, and then we changed our play, and Taylor made a really tough shot to win the game. So, you know, you've just got to get some breaks along the way to win a game like that. Either team would.
Belmont basketball coach Rick Byrd tonight, 6 o'clock at the Kerb Event Center, Murray State to Murray at 5-1 in conference play, Belmont 5-1, Austin Peay 5-1. Then you've got Jacksonville State, Tennessee Tech there at 4-2. And obviously we talk about, you know, these two teams, Belmont and Murray State. But I like you, followed, even though you weren't in it, but I followed the OVC for a long, long time. I can't remember it being this competitive, this deep. Is that fair?
It is more than since I've been in it, for sure. Lots of good teams and Greg, a lot of good players, just a lot of good individual players in this league. Even on the teams that right now are in the bottom half of the league, there are some really, really good players. Every game it seems like we're having a scheme to figure out a way to stop this guy or that guy.
Well, and you're looking at your team. Is this one of those years you've been building to? I know with not having Evan Brad's, you know, and what he meant on the inside of you, but you start three juniors and two seniors, and of course, Wendler, Egekezi, and really have been sort of the bell cow. I know McLean's played well for you as well. But this is about as upper class as I can remember you having.
It might be that, although, you know, we have a lot of upper class. We don't, you know, it's rare when a guy comes in and starts as a freshman. We don't recruit junior college players, or we haven't in a long time, and very few transfers, really. So we've usually got an upper class team. This team, I don't know about building toward. This team's got some deficiencies that we're not sure we can do much about. We don't have much inside scoring at all, and when you have to rely on finding ways to get three-point shots. It's just not as easy without that inside presence. So we're working around that, kind of changing things game by game sometimes to figure out how to get good shots. Been shooting it pretty well, so that's good, but it's just not as easy to get those open looks when you don't have a big guy inside they have to worry about.
Well, and Amonzé Egbuka-Casey, he says, sir, Amonzé Egbuka-Casey, though, at 6'8", though, he's going to face the basket a lot and everything. And you just see, I mean, this guy, he seems like a seventh-year senior. I mean, because he's been a part of everything you've done every year. He's been there.
Yeah, he started 7 or 8 games into his freshman year, and he started ever since. He's so dependable, so consistent. On both ends of the floor that, hopefully he'll be an all-conference player this year because I think he may have deserved to have been one a year ago. And his numbers are good this year and probably will get him that. But even when his numbers weren't this good because we had Evan and Craig Bradshaw, Taylor Barnett scoring more points, he was super valuable to our team.
Tell me about Murray State, just what they're all about.
Well, they've got good skilled athletic players, and that's a tough combination. They've got guys that can get a freshman point guard that just joins their family of point guards that have been so good over the years. Jonathan Stark, who's moved from point to two this year, it's freed him up to be the premier scorer in our league, the toughest guy to guard in our league because he can drive it. You can really use ball screens, and you can shoot threes amazingly well with great range. They got a four-man that's similar to Amonzé in terms of he can play inside, but he can make threes. And Miller, and then their other players are really nice, fitting into their role kind of players. Matt's done a really good job with this team. They're sound. They play good defensively. They're always either the best or right out of the offensive rebound team in this league. It's a really, really good Murray State team that Jacksonville State came in here and beat us and played great. And then they beat Murray at their place pretty soundly. And at times they look like the best team in this league. But at times, Murray certainly looks like that team as well. They just went to Tennessee Tech and won by, 26 or 27 points.
And it's, you look at it, and I was going to go, TSU beats Jacksonville State. Jacksonville State beats you. Jacksonville State loses by 20 at home to Austin Peay, yet goes and wins at Murray State. So you figure it out for me.
Well, they won at home against Murray State.
Okay, against Murray State. But
no, you can't. You can't ever do that any year. You can't just say, well, this team beat this team, so this team beats that team. It doesn't work that way. And it's the slogan that a lot of coaches understand. It's not who you play, but when you play them. And I think for us, and for anybody that has a tradition of winning, then we don't get too many people's average game. And that's just something that hopefully will make us better because we're getting people's best as the season goes along. They're pushing us and making us better. But Jacksonville State, I think it's fair to say Jacksonville State wasn't the same team at Tennessee State as they were at our place. But some of that's maybe Belmont, but some of it is responding from a below-average performance. Most of us do a better job coaching after a loss than we do after a win.
Rick Bird with us, Belmont coach, ESPNU. I know there's CBS Sports Network, there's Fox, there's the local Sinclair. I remember 10 years ago, OVC wasn't on TV.
Well, that's a great thing. And Commissioner Bush has done a really good job of creating those kind of opportunities for our schools and teams, and it's it's just funny when you hear from a lot of people when you end up being on a nationally televised game that some guy in California will say I saw this and I saw that game, and you don't even think about that stuff. So good exposure for the league and for all the schools involved.
Well, it's an interesting 72-hour period. Tonight, Murray. Saturday night, Matt Figger and what he's done at Austin Peay in his first year coming over from the South Carolina staff. All three of you teams are 5-1, so I guess we'll find out. There's you and the two other teams that are atop the league, one-third through, and you've got them both here in a row at home.
Makes it pretty important, doesn't it?
A little extra juice, though. We talked about the national TV for your fans, for the students and everything. It's on ESPNU tonight.
Right.
Well, Rick, thank you. Appreciate it, man.
Thank you, Greg. See you, buddy.
All right.